Wayne had done that in that initial example. Key people, dignitaries visiting. Obviously, reports of lost children or lost and found vehicle inspection in accidents, refueling stops and mileage. Again, this is a recap or a refresher of what we saw in that initial example. Change of assignment, obviously, or change of an observer, or change of a vehicle. And key is callback numbers. Wayne made a big point when he, just think about it. We went through this initial class almost exactly a year ago, because we were going through it in February. So when he did that, he made a big point about callback numbers. And now on slide, it's not numbered, but it is slide 32. We see an example of the vehicle safety inspection checklist. Again, I would refresh your memory of the items at least at the top, because those are the things we should be collecting also for the 214. And we already talked about the checklist. The checklist, by the way, for those who were on tape, the vehicle safety inspection, that refers, there's a reference out on the web, a slide 32 reference. And you can print it out if you don't already have it. On slide 33, is, I must be on slide 34 here on up on the screen. But anyway, 33 and 34 is the checklist and the SAL levels, which we talked about. Slide 35. Okay, here's where it says, now we're talking not about the 214 steno entries, but specifically ICS 214 log entries. Enter concise, accurate entries from your steno pad. And make them count. It's interesting, don't include personal stuff. Unless you're going to refer to it in the future, and it would be useful for investigations or accidents or complaints or whatever. So again, frankly, I don't think we have enough room to put in a lot of personal stuff, nor do we have time.
I think what he's referring to here is if there's a situation where your actions could be contested in court or something, you might want to put down, you know, the rest of our entries are all objective data. This might be subjective data, you know, how you felt, how the person who was approaching you was already irate before they walked up to you, or something like that. This is where you might add some subjective data if that be necessary, if you think that might be necessary, if you were questioned later on.
Good point. Yeah, that's a good observation. Okay, slide 36. Now, slide 36, we're looking at the 214 form that he's filled in. And he's obviously, this is a good example of if you were a supervisor. He's got two direct reports, Rob and Hiroko. And he clarifies it. I'm glad he clarified that Rob was a ZR2S, which happened to be an ICC radio unit leader. And Hiroko is a ZR2M, which is a remote support specialist, I guess. But that's a good example. And again, we see a number of entries. Initiated QST, on various repeaters at 0700 hours. And then we see again doing the VSI. We see he departed for JFTB at Los Alamitos. And he jotted down his at 0730 hours his mobilization code. And he apparently is using his trailer here. ISU checked okay, hookup complete. It sounds a little bit like he's using his emergency trailer. So he's documented things like that. And he departs for the incident at 0810. He contacts, he was contacted at 0820. He contacted Hiroko. I guess gave him a mobilization code.
And they contacted Hiroko and asked her to tell Rob to mobilize now.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, at 0855 arrived at the incident and began setup. So he's setting up, apparently his PIO, I presume he's still a PIO here, assignment. Actually, his title up above, if you look in, what is it, box 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, he's ZR11.
Yeah, so here's
not he's the incident fire. Commander.
Yeah, here he's doing radio work rather than being a PIO for a fire department.
Yeah, yeah, so he's the incident commander with two direct reports setting up probably his command post. Okay, looking at slide 37, who needs an ICS 214? Well, for single resources, we got to fill out one per day. That's where that came from that I mentioned earlier. And he says partners. Now, if we were able to have two people working together, if, for example, a ZR2F, a field specialist, and an observer both have to fill out a 214. Or even if there's two field specialists working side by side, they each have to fill out forms. So we can't piggyback on our friend's 214.
But if they were working closely through the entire day, like for example, if you have a radio operator, the field 2F, and an observer, the observer might be the one that's taking the notes and filling out the steno pad.
Yeah.
And the field operator is going to drive a vehicle.
Yeah, but I think for reimbursement, again, if this is the real deal and you're part, say, of the Orange County Fire Authority, in order to get reimbursed for your time or your mileage, you got to fill out your own form.
Right, but what I'm saying is if the two people working together closely through the entire day, they could be working off one steno pad, and then at the end of the day, both of them take that information right off their own 214s.
Yeah. Yeah, if they are Siamese twins, okay. I agree with you. If they're working closely, and the key word is closely,
right?
Then yes, that would be an easy way because the field operator is going to be doing communications, while the observer is hopefully keeping these diaries. Yeah. Okay. Bottom line, don't get behind. On slide 38, what's significant here? Okay, the bottom line is just don't ask if you got to submit a 214, just plan on it. And what have we decided is our minimum required number of forms to carry?
We kind of thought about five.
That's what I was saying, five to six, yeah.
And I've tried to, in the manual, there's a minimum of three that I've issued, but I've tried to get it to five.
Okay, So I think the guideline for all of us is have five or six of these forms. I, for one, in order to make it legible, it would probably take my third try to get my handwriting so somebody could read it. And on the other hand, as we had with the, I have a note here, thinking back a year ago to when we had the Plaza de la Paz exercise, and which we all participated in. One thing that was true was that just as is true with my nephew, who's a fireman, he couldn't leave the incident, we couldn't leave the exercise until we filled it out and submitted the 214. That was part of getting permission to leave. Okay, I think we've covered that enough. Slide 39. We're back to steno pad entries. And it says develop a system. Recommend using a certain format, year, month, day, and time format for the beginning of each day. And then be sure to use 2400 hour military time. That makes sense, particularly if it was going to be entered into a database eventually. That would help sort down the time and so forth. And in big red letters, date and time all entries. We've said that over and over. Now, what must we do with each entry? Dale, what must we do with each entry?
Well, actually, he just put down the time after he put the date for at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that each entry had a date and time, just a time.
Very good.
Date for the day.
Date at the top of each page, right. No, each day, not page, day,
yeah.
And time. Okay, good. So we can save a little bit of ink if we just write down times. Now what again? What are we supposed to do? Date and time it? Yes. Okay. I'm getting slap happy. Okay. Now we're on slide 40. And again, what did we say it was? It's a running log of all of our activities. I think the most significant thing on this slide was if the incident, if we're part of an incident, it's going to be, it says may be stressful and chaotic. We need to change that slide. It's not may be, it's will be. Yeah, it definitely will be. And again, thinking back to that exercise of Plaza de la Paz, it was hectic. Now we're at slide 41, and now what Wayne's trying to do is he's going to take us through a sequence of slides as if it were a real incident, and we're jumping back and forth between all of our forms. And so on slide 41 he says, important ICS 214 entries, and it says notification, when and by whom you were notified. What is that? Okay, that's notification. That to me is definitely a SAL 1. When and by whom? And who was the resource net control station? And when did you check into the resource net control? Again, SAL 1. Status and availability, SAL 1. And now activation level, if we look on our checklist, that's line number A1 on the activation checklist. Where we check off we've been activated and the year, month, day, time, and by whom we were activated. again, you can see how we can use the entries from the 214.